It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be able to be around now, see some folks, and not have to preach to just chairs or just a camera. Right, Brother Bobby? It's been a blessing. I ain't the man. I'm just a man, but I ain't the man. And I'll tell you what, don't call God the man either. He's God. Amen. I don't like it when somebody says, you know the man upstairs? Nah. I know my God upstairs and my heavenly Savior's upstairs, but he's not the man. Take your Bible to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, it's been a blessing to get up here and see the Mendozas again and spend some more time with them and get to see Brother Bobby. And we had it scheduled for last week, not this week. And so I do appreciate him allowing me to come back, and looking forward to what God has for us tonight. And I've been contemplating on what to preach. And you know, preachers, we got a lot of messages stashed somewhere, right? And we do that, but not that the Lord just laid this back on my heart. I preached this message, it's been quite a while, and go figure, God gave me this message on a hiking trip. And it was on a hiking trip that I was getting ready. We was getting away to go camping. And it was one of those times when my son looks at me and says, Daddy, we need to go. And it's one of those things he knows that I need to get away to get my mind straight, because we go through things. Man, I don't know about you, man, but when I have some need to get relief, I take my gun and go target practicing or go hunting to relieve stress or to relieve pressure. And some guys maybe just like to go play video games and just to get their minds off of things so they won't have to think about it. Brother Bobby, we go through as pastors those things that sometimes we just need to get away. And yes. So this message here came to my heart as I was hiking. I went alone. My son still had to work and he was going to catch up with me later. Of course, here's how that worked. I get to leave about 4 hours before he does, and he's still up there about the same time I get there. Does that make sense? I'm talking about a 3-mile hike in, and by the time I'm there, I mean, he's already there. And I'm saying, how does this work? You didn't even get started till 2 hours ago, and here it is, 6 hours in my trip. That's how slow I am when you're hiking up to 9,000 feet above sea level. So that makes a difference. So John chapter 15, if you would, standing, I'm going to read 3 verses, and then we're going to look at a couple other verses, and I'm hoping to gain something from the Word of God. I hope it'd be an encouragement to you. Verse number 9, I'm in chapter 15, verse 9, 10, and 11, and then we're going to jump to chapter 16. Verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. What an example. Jesus is saying, this is what I've done, so should you do. If you say you love me, this is what you ought to do. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be, say that last word, full. Chapter 16, look in verse 24. Chapter 16, verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Father, bless the reading of your holy word. I pray, God, you'd help me. Lord, strengthen me. Encourage these people. God, I pray that you draw them to you. Lord, like you drawed me to you when you showed me through the scriptures of some things, that it's a blessing that we may see and live with the joy to the fullest in our life. God, I pray that you would just honor your word, speak it to our hearts, and that you receive all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So we see Jesus himself is speaking these words here in these verses. And he's talking about how much he loves us. And friend, let me tell you, he loves you far beyond you could ever imagine. I mean, we all know that. We believe that. I don't believe you're saved without knowing that he loved you. But he also says, because I love you, abide in this love. Knowing that through this love is the only way we can have this joy. Now, he didn't say that your joy, he didn't say anything about your joy whatsoever. He said that my joy will remain in you, but that joy would be to the fullest. Now, he's not telling us to go out and have joy of ourselves. I enjoy hiking. I did. I love hiking. I love hunting. I love fishing. I love those things. But friend, if that's the joy of my life, I've missed the whole thing. But Jesus says that my joy may remain in you. And that it would be to the fullest. I mean, so full that it is overwhelming you. That when you do go hiking, you can't stand it. I'm going to tell you, when I was hiking up the mountain, I just couldn't stand it, Brother Bobby. When I got to seeing some things and got to thinking upon some things about joy, it was a good thing that I didn't see nobody for miles. Because I was hiking and shouting and crying and I mean, just weeping, and it would start snowing. And I'm sitting here, Lord, I don't know what is. Are you giving me tears from the heaven? Because when I see snow, I think about the pureness. And I'm just sitting here thinking, Lord, this is good. And it was a good thing that my son and them hadn't got up there yet, because I just had a spell. I pulled out my phone and I started texting everything what God was giving me about His joy. I mean, honestly, God is always good to us. There's not one thing in our life that we could think about Him being bad to us. He's never. If we think that because we go through trials or because we face some things that it's God, friend, it isn't God. It's just life. We're going to go through them. There's some things we're just going to go through because it's life. Death in your family, you're going to go through that because it's life. Then sickness is going to come. I'm going to say it's life. Not that I'm hoping, you know, that we get it. I don't want nobody to be sick, but it's life. You know, there's a possibility we can get sick. Yeah. But did you know that through those things, we can still have His joy? Yeah. Remember what He says in Philippians 4, verses 4? Rejoice, and I say unto you, rejoice. Yeah. Means, in other words, that when you face these things and when you have these things come about you, it's not time to quit. It's not time to get down and out. It's not time to drag and mumble and gripe and complain. It's time to reflect on the joy that Christ had put in you so that it will remain in you. So when those things get deeper and deeper, you have something that's going to pull you out of it. And that's Him, Christ, the joy. So I want you to go to Luke chapter number 15. I want you to go to Luke 15. Now, this is going to probably be preached a little bit different than probably any other way you maybe had anybody preach. But you got to wait till the end of everything that I'm going to share with you out of these three parables to understand about what God got a hold of my heart about when I climbed the mountain. About that joy and the excitement of the joy. Now, I'm not going to read the whole entire parable. But we see the parable that Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes because of their murmuring and their griping and their complaining. And they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they were talking about Jesus Christ in verse number 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, and I'm in Luke chapter 15, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so in other words, they're almost about to steal the joy of Christ, what He was doing. Have you ever had somebody steal your joy? Come on, Bobby. That didn't sound too good, Brother Bobby. And then you look at your wife when you said it. I'm going to put that out. but I'll be honest with you. I probably have stole my wife's joy before, and my wife's probably stolen mine. But here, there's some people sometimes just steals our joy.
Right, brother.
I want to wonder, did we let them? Because Christ says that my joy remain in you and that it be full. The reason why we lose that joy is because we allow it to be lost. Love thine enemy. Love those that persecute you. Well, pray for them that persecute you. So in other words, the reason why our joy goes is because we allow it. So Jesus gives three parables here. He gives the parable of a one who has a lost sheep. And we see that in verse number 4 it says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them and doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he findeth it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders," what? "Rejoicing." So, in other words, we see a man who has a shepherding sheep. So it's kind of like the illustration of a pastor and his sheep in his church. Friend, I tell you what, a pastor ought to be one of those who is willing to go out, and when he sees when one's not in his church, he'd be willing to go and get that one and try to get him to come back. And isn't it joy when they come back? You're probably sitting here, well, I know some that's not so joyful if they do come back. I hope that's not the case. I hope that isn't the case. Don't let that one steal your joy. It ought to have joy when we can get out there in a sheep that has strayed and we can get them to come back. He says he was rejoicing. Then he goes on. It doesn't stop there. It says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. And look at this, saying to them, rejoice with me. That's a church when you get a hold of your church family and say, hey, I just went and visited so-and-so that used to be in church. And man, they got right with God. And they're going to be back in the house of God. And you're excited. And you're getting your people excited. Why? Because that joy that's in us is not our joy. It's His. Amen. And so it excites us. But then it goes a little further. Verse number 8 gets about a woman. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she loses one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently till she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calls her what? Friends and her neighbors together, saying, here's the word, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise say unto you that there is, here it is, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So here's a woman or a widow or a woman that had lost something that's very important. And yet she maybe wasn't so joyful at the time until she found it. There's times in my life that I've lost something that I wasn't so happy about. All right, come on, y'all with me? Probably some things you still ain't found it yet. There's some things that I go into my office and I can't find it. I had to do this. Honey, where'd you put it? Because you came in here clean just the other day and you don't put it back in the same place when I have my desk. She said, well, your office is just terrible. I says, I know, but I know exactly where everything is. So I want the one that lost it. I'm blaming somebody. I'm trying to take the joy, take it from her because she took it from me because I can't find what I need. But isn't it something when you do find it? It brings joy. Exciting. Happiness, doesn't it? But let me point something. Something happened to take her joy away at first. At first she had 10 coins. She had no problem. There was joy in the house. But then when it was gone, there wasn't joy in the house. Then we go into the next parable, verses 12 down, and we see there's a young man, verse 12, and the young man of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that faileth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the young man, younger son, gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his field to feed swines. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will rise up and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be, same word, joyous, joyful, excited. And then we go on and we can keep reading that the elder brother gets angry and mad and almost about to the point to steal the joy away. That's what Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. The Pharisees that was in the ministry, they were doing it for themselves to bring praise and glory to themselves instead of to the glory and the joy of the Lord. The elder brother got mad at the younger brother, got mad at the father, and would not come into the house. Kind of sad that somebody got joyously, others did not. One followed and man got in and man was so merry and happy in the house of God or with the father. One did not. One who lived there was at one time and then all of a sudden got mad and then went away. He is showing the picture to the Pharisees that they were not doing the work what they were supposed to do. They was actually accusing Jesus because he was in there eating with sinners, and yet they were trying to almost steal the joy of the glory of the Lord, trying to work in the hearts of those people to reach those sinners. And yet one goes away. Look in verse 32 what the Father says. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is what? Found. That's why he said, this is why we got to do it. It's exciting. I don't know about you, but how many has ever led someone to the Lord? Isn't it exciting? Does it give you joy? Makes you feel like you almost got born again. I mean, just almost like it feels like you were just saved yourself, because the joy that they had is the same joy that you already had. It's just that you just need a fresher course of it. Just a fresh respringing of it. That's kind of what happening here. The father was joyous. He had one son there, but he was waiting for the other son to come back. So we see that the one man in the first parable who is seeking out to get the stray in, and we see the woman who was searching for the lost coin that she had, but we see a father who was supplicating, praying, seeking, and waiting for the son to come back. I hadn't gave you the title yet, have I? I just want to preach on the joy that's worth fighting for. The joy that's worth fighting for. We see the one man, which we could call the pastor, is fighting for his sheep. He's fighting for his sheep. Why? Because he sees that they need the joy that he has, and that his sheep needs the joy when one comes back. It's a continuance. So as he's doing this, we see the pastor. Let me ask you something. How would you feel your pastor come into church? Y'all sitting here already. Church service is starting. And he sees someone not sitting here. Hold on. Wait a minute. Somebody's not here. I'll be back. What if he takes off at the door and he goes knocking at that guy's house? Hey, why ain't you in church? Is that not what he did? He went out. He left the 99 behind for the one sheep. Why? Because he sees the importance of the joy of the Lord back into the house. You want to know why that's the case? Do we not believe in the church as being the body of Christ? When one's missing, a hand might be missing. When you don't have your full body parts, does it not hurt and take the joy away from you? Let me ask you this question. How joyful is it when all your body parts is working fine? Huh? When you get up and you don't have an ache and a pain? But how bad is it and how joyful are you when they are not working properly? See, that makes a difference, don't it? Does that not make sense with the body of Christ? When one's missing, we all hurt. And we all are not as joyful to the fullest. Did we not read that? That your joy may be full. Well, if everyone's not here, then it ain't full. Pastors, not just pastors. Can I tell you, you can do that too. You can do it too. You can do it. You know how? When you get home, call that person. Hey, look, we've missed you at church. Amen. The joy of my heart is that you're not there and we miss you. That's the joy that Christ had put in us, that we so eagerly miss him so bad because of the love that he said that the Father gave him, he loved us with, that we ought to have it in us. It's what's going to get us to have that joy to the fullest. And we're going to want to do all we can to get them to come back to the house of God. Now, how about seeking the coin? Here's the woman who sought out for a coin. And she had such a desire. You know what I thought about? She knew somebody else needed it so she can give it. Let me ask you, how cheerful are you when you give? Why did he put a coin in there? What's so important about a coin? What did she need it for? Just one coin, brother Doug, just one coin. Maybe she had a purpose for that coin to go in the offering plate. Maybe she had a purpose that she needed to buy some food for someone else. Can I ask you a question? What is the purpose of the money that God gives you? 10 of it ought to be glorifying God in your tithe. If not more, whatever God lays on your heart. Did you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? I think it's down from verse 6 down to verse maybe 8, I believe it is, somewhere in the neighborhood. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Give to, and it shall be given to you. Now, we read that a while ago in John chapter 16, verse 24. He says, because if you don't ask, you're not asking. In other words, if you ask, that joy shall be full in you. So, in other words, the reason why we have not is because we ask not. And the reason why we're probably not getting anything is because we're asking for our own midst, and so we're not getting the joy. Here's the woman. She is actually digging around. She's moving everything out of the way just so she could find this one coin. And I believe it was for a purpose, maybe to give back to God. But then we see the man, a father, that had a son who supplicated, right? He prayed. The word supplication means prayed. What do you mean? I don't see where it says that he prayed. Well, I don't know about you, but you think about this. He had a son that left, but when he saw him afar off, he had to be looking. And I don't think he just looked one day. No. I think he looked every day. And you think he's going to stand in that window and look for his son and not say, Lord, would you please bring him home? Let me ask you, you know when the joy of our life would be the greatest? God seeing us down on our knees and praying for others, not just for yourself. Here's the joy. J-O-Y. Do anybody know what that means? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Prayer would be, you pray because you love Christ. The love of Christ in us to be full. Prayer would be that others may know Christ, not yourself. And then after you've prayed because you love Jesus and because you want others to know Christ, then you could pray and ask God, Lord, what is it for me? What do you have for me to do? Lord, I want to serve you. Not, Lord, give me this. Not, Lord, I want that. Why not, Lord, I just want to be a blessing. Would you put that joy in my heart that I may go seek someone else? Because this is all about a son coming home. It's about one coming to know Christ. I'm going to bring you down to the end of this. You're probably like, this ain't got nothing to do. You're going to see something here in a minute. It's worth fighting for. Amen. Yes, sir. It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting that we don't lose our joy. It's worth fighting because it is not our joy, it is Christ. He says that my joy may remain. I'm tired of it being stolen, aren't you? Are you tired of being stolen? I think a lot of times it really ain't stolen. I think we give it up. We hand it over. You ready? Let's go back and look at some scripture. We still in Luke 15? I want you to look at something. Look with me what it says in verse number 6. In verse 6 it says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, right? His neighbors. And he says unto them, what? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise, here it is, joy shall be where? Come on. And where? It's in heaven. All right, remember that. Where is it at in heaven? It's in the presence of who? Let's read on. We need to see where this is at. I want you to jump down to verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of all the angels. Are y'all ready for this? Brother, when I went up the mountain, I realized that no one stole my joy. I handed it over to Satan. You know why? Because I allow things to think in my mind that it's all about me. It's coming against me. All these problems is toward me. You want to know, this battle is not my battle. The battle that you're facing, which you're going through, I don't know what anybody's going through. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. And a lot of times we need to let God fight our battles. But here's the problem. Sometimes I want to hold it and do my own. And the devil, I just opened up the door for the devil to take my joy instead of letting God fight for me. Next thing I know, here I am. I'm trying to battle, and I'm all in it myself, and it's all my energy. And Brother Doug, you'll get to the place, you'll get into depression, you'll get into stress, you'll start getting to bitterness, you'll start pointing fingers out to others instead of fighting for the joy that Christ had put in you is by trusting in the Lord. So what does that got to do with this? Let me show you. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 14, would you? When y'all see what God gave me, you're going to say, wow. You're going to see something. Isaiah chapter number 14, start in verse number 12. Some of you may already know where this is at. Isaiah is actually talking about a fallen angel. And if you know who that fallen angel is, listen very closely. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O who? Lucifer. We know who his name is. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. So we know who this is talking about, right? Who is it? Lucifer is called who? Satan. So go to Ezekiel. I got to find it. Ezekiel chapter 28. Start in verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, we're going to understand who this is in just a minute. Very precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, or I guess that's how you pronounce it, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was what? Thou art the anointed cherubim that covered, and I have set thee so that thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. Thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. The fallen angel, is it not? Who is it? Satan. I want you to go back to the verse where it says, thy pipes, tapestry, was prepared. To me, I want to say Satan was one of music. Come on. Hope you know where I'm going with this. Satan was one of music. Let me ask you, what do you think most of the kids are actually controlled by nowadays? Besides TV, video games. I know when I was growing up, it was rock and roll. A lot of the music controls minds of kids. Why do you think a lot of people don't want church? Because the music is not up to their beat. Satan. Satan was in control of the music. I think Satan was in control. He was high above the rest of the angels. He was the one who serenaded or had the music or played the cymbal or praise to God. Why do we allow Satan to steal or take our joy? Why do we open up ourselves when we ourselves can steal his joy? Back to chapter 15 of Luke. I'm not telling you to go back there, but remember what we read? It says that the rejoicing was in the presence of the what? Angels. Now let me ask you something. When you lead a person to the Lord, or when you are bowing down on your knees in prayer, when you are serving God faithfully and doing God's will, do you think that the devil is joyful about that? You want to know why? Because the music in heaven is reminding him of what he used to be. So, like I asked you a question, have you had someone steal your joy? Why can't you steal his joy back? You want to know why? Go after that sheep that strayed. Get him to come back. So the joy in heaven will be ringing. And he's going to hear it. You probably say, no, he's not going to. Oh, yeah, trust me, you. I believe God is letting him hear it. When one comes back, because if he hears you rejoicing, he knows what's doing in heaven. Go after and serve God with your all your substance. Trust Him with it. Give that others may know about the Lord. Serve Him with everything you've got. I think this, what has happened, maybe has opened up some Christian eyes that, hey, it won't take but a split second. You got nothing. We have been cursed with prosperity. And I believe with Christians, we need to just trust the Lord with what we have, because He's the one that's given it to us anyhow. And if we take what He's given us, giving back to Him, Lord, what do You want me to do with it? I could tell you of a businessman right now that God is booming his business. And he's setting aside, he's got money for himself, but he's setting aside for missionaries. Just setting aside for missionaries. And I couldn't tell you how much is in there. I couldn't tell you what he's got, but I can tell you he has helped out a lot of missionaries, because he says, this business is not mine, it's the Lord's. And the joy is just flowing in there, because he wants to do what God's given him to serve him. Go after a soul that's lost. All three of these things. Go get those who are straight. Go serve the Lord with all you have. And go after a sinner and reach that one. I didn't say save him, because you and I can't save him. But I'm going to tell you what, when we go after a sinner, it is God that saves them. It is God that draws them. But God uses us as a tool. See, the father couldn't bring him back home. The father could have went and tried to do everything he could have to get him to realize that, hey, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. But the father prayed. The father supplicated for him. And let me tell you, that is the greatest thing for a sinner that you can do as you witness to them, is pray and let the Holy Ghost do the rest. Yeah. Because when they come in with the Holy Ghost dragging them in here, you ain't going to change their mind. But if you try to drag them in, it won't be nothing. The devil will be able to change his mind, because he's done it for you. But when you do it with the power and the joy of the Lord, it is the Lord's joy. It's not yours. And God, I'm telling you, you're starting getting excited, because here's why. You've robbed the devil from the joy that he's trying to steal from you. That's what you see right here. Because the angels are rejoicing. And friend, he used to be up there. He used to be right there in the presence of the angels rejoicing. He used to be up there praising in imperfectness, pure in the presence of God, until sin entered in, because he wanted to be God. And he knows he can't be. So that's why he's trying to take your joy. But you do these three things throughout your life because you want to take the joy from him. Because it is the joy of the Lord that's in you. He wanted it to be the fullest. Friend, stop allowing the joy escape. See, that was my problem, because I started harping on all those things and it was sucking the joy out of me. When you go harping on your problems and the things that you're going through, it'll make you want to quit. It'll get you out of whack. It'll get you to the place that you just don't want to do it anymore. And what it's done is it's to suck the joy of the Lord out of you when Jesus says that my joy may remain, not disappear, not go away, not be stolen, not to be forsaken, but that it would remain into the fullness, that when we do things for the Lord, that there's rejoicing in heaven. I don't understand how come there was much rejoicing in heaven of a woman finding a piece of corn. Only but to use it for the Lord. I don't understand what it would be so rejoicing of getting one to come back to church. But maybe that one you get back might be the one that could be the next preacher for revival. Yeah. I don't know. Boy, would that not set the joy, or take the joy away from the devil? Amen. Amen. I'm serious. All these things we just talking about would rob the devil from his joy. Quit letting it. It's worth fighting for, is it not?
Yeah.
It's worth fighting for. Why not his purpose in our heart? I want the joy of the Lord remain in me to the fullest. To the fullest. That it be full. That where we can rob it, take it away from that old devil. He's had it long enough. Church, the devil's had it long enough. It's time to fight for it. And I'm going to tell you the greatest place to fight for it. Go seek, search, and supplicate. Seek the Lord. Seek those astray, search those that are lost, and pray for them. Pray, pray, and let God fight the battle. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and always rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Steal the joy from Satan. because it isn't his. It isn't his. It don't belong to him. It belongs to who? To the Lord. Father, Brother Bobby comes, closing the sermon. Lord, I pray, God, you just speak to the hearts of the people, those that maybe listen on Facebook. Lord, I know this may be a little different than any other message-wise, but I give my heart. Lord, we've all been there. We've all faced it. A lot of times we allow the circumstances, problems, as well as family issues, whatever it may be, to suck the joy out of us when it ought to remain, never to leave, never to go away. Lord, help us to fight on our knees in prayer. Fight and seeking and doing God's will. Serving you with all our heart, soul, and mind. And take that joy away from that old devil, that we may exalt our heavenly Savior. Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do, and we praise you. Keep your heads bowed as he's going to play. Just going to give an invitation, just a short invitation. As he's playing, let me ask you, how many would say, I want to fight for this joy? Would you raise your hands? There's hands going up. I want to fight for this joy. It's worth fighting for. You can put your hands down. Now, I'm not even going to tell you to come down to the altar, but you know what? You can make the altar right there where you're at by saying this, I no longer am going to allow Satan get that joy any longer. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight by serving, searching, seeking, praying, supplicating, and being obedient to what the Word of God says. And let Christ's joy be so full in me that when circumstances do come, I know where to go. I'm going to the Lord with it and allow God to take care of it. Let Him fight it for you. He can fight it a lot better than you can.